And you move on until you cross. Yes, Lord. Cross the finish line.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Praise the Lord. Come on, help me thank God for our worship team one more time. We appreciate you for your ministry. Thanks to our music director and all the singers, all the musicians. I want to thank God for all of you for being here this morning. We welcome everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. We welcome all of you that are live streaming with us locally, statewide, nationally, even those of you who are live streaming internationally. We are grateful to every one of you for joining us this morning. So glad to see Dr. Bakari Beckwith in the house and his lovely mom. Amen. So glad to see Pastor Greg Tinney in the house. with his lovely wife, Sister Tini. We welcome all of you, all of our guests. We are grateful. It's such a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. For those of you who are joining us live streaming, today is our church anniversary. This church is 97 years old. What a blessing. 97 years that God has been ministering in this great church. And we thank God for that blessing. Thanks to all of our event planning committee. They did a good job putting all this together. We are grateful. And for our theme, they have given us a scripture, and I just want to talk about that scripture that is selected for us just for a few minutes. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 14. If you are able to, I ask that you stand in reference to the word of God. It's just one verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. The Bible said, "You are the light of this world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Please remain standing as we pray. Father, we are grateful for the word of God. We know grass withereth, flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak through me. Use my tongue as a ready writer for your glory. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless everyone that are listening on radio, watching on TV, live streaming with us. We just trust you to continue to watch over us. Thank you for 97 years of existence. Thank you for bringing us a mighty long way. Now, Holy Spirit, have your way in this worship experience. I step back that you may step up. Glorify yourself in the house. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, Turn the Lights On. Turn on the light. Please permit me to mention that I grew up in rural Africa. And in my neck of the wood, when I was growing up, there were no street lights. And there were no lights in the neighborhood. So it's not uncommon when you walk around, especially at night, when the moon is out and you can't see any of the stars, it gets pretty dark. In fact, you can walk through a whole city and it's nothing but solid darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know when it's dark, because I remember as a youngster, the first thing you notice is very hard to see. Secondly, you may get lost when it's dark. And thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, when it's dark like that, you can run into something. You're trying to walk, you can't see. You're trying to move, you get easily lost, and you can run into things. I don't have to tell you, brothers and sisters, that right now, all over the world, there is darkness. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know one of the challenges we all face with, as an example of darkness, is broken homes. a lot of broken lives. There's a lot of violence in our world today. There's a lot of injustice. You look into the economy, you see darkness. You look into the health care, you see darkness. I mean, you can pick any segment, any sector of our society, you will see symptoms of darkness. Today, too many people are stumbling through life. They're walking around in the dark. People walking around with no direction. Young people, even adults, grown-ups. People walking around with no vision for their lives. And then there are others who pretend that they are not in the dark or that they have light. But the truth be told, even those people, a lot of those lights has become a glimmer. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that we are living in a world where many people have desensitized themselves to the light. A lot of people basically get used to darkness. You will hear people say, well, I guess that's just the way it is now. It didn't used to be like that when I was growing up, but things have changed. So we kind of adjust, we get used to it. But in our text today, Jesus said, you and me are the light of this world. No room for compromise on that statement. To make it even more clearer, he said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Please permit me to mention to you the Greek word for light is pho, P-H-O, pho. That's the Greek word for light. It is the root word where we get our English word that we call photograph. Ladies and gentlemen, when you keep that in mind, Jesus is saying, you are the photograph of me. In a dark world, Jesus wants you and me to be his photograph. Many of you probably grew up the same time I grew up, or even a little earlier. There's something we call Polaroid camera. For young people, that may be Greek and Hebrew. But back then, when you have a Polaroid camera, you aim at your object, you take a snapshot, and then something comes out. And then you take it, and then you find it, and you find it. And you find it, you look at it, if the picture is not clear, you keep on finding until it's clear. The problem today, ladies and gentlemen, the church is giving a very foxy picture. When it comes to the picture we are showing the world, we are giving them a very foxy picture of who Jesus is. Why? Because our photo is out of focus. That's what makes this scripture very important. If you take that a Polaroid picture and you are out of focus, you can find all day all you want. You won't get a clear picture. And if you take a good picture, but it's not fully developed, if you don't find it long enough, you still won't get a good picture. So that's the problem with the body of Christ today. For many of us, all we can brag about is that I go to church. Some will say, well, I sing in the choir. Or some might say, I'm a greeter, I'm an usher. Or I'm a preacher, or I'm one of the deacons. Whoa, look at me, I'm a Christian. But ladies and gentlemen, is that the best that we can offer this world of darkness? If you notice, more and more people, especially the younger generation, they are leaving the church because of a fuzzy picture. If you notice, we have churches all around the city, but most of them are virtually empty. This is the reality. And then in the midst of that, Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. To add more to the problem, even when you go to church and you find people, the truth be told, there's not much spiritual growth going on. The church has become a place where you pacify people. But no real spiritual maturity, no real change. And even where you see people, there's hardly any growth taking place. What you see is stagnation. My brothers, my sisters, if you and I are true light, as Jesus intended, you will remember and you will take note that a true light reflects truth. That's what light does. It reflects truth. Guess what else? True light will expose darkness. Isn't it funny that even sinners are very comfortable in the churches now? So if you really want to know if your church, if my church, if our church, or even you or me, if you really want to know if you are giving a clear picture to the world, you need to ask two questions. Number one, is your church revealing the truth? To make it personal, is your life revealing the truth? And number two, you have to ask the question, are you exposing darkness as a church? Matthew chapter 5 verse 15 put it this way. He said, can a man light a candle and put it under a bushel? Then the answer to that question was no. You don't do that. If you're a real light, you know you don't be hiding. You light that candlestick and you put it on a candlestick so that it gives light to the whole house. And that is why he said in verse 16, let your light so shine among men. And then he says something profound. If you're really shining, they will see your good work. You cannot be a light and nobody notice it. If you let your light shine, they will see your good work and they will give glory to God. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have become so afraid of offending people. So as a result, many of us turn off the light. And the Holy Spirit sent me to tell somebody, to remind all of us, it's time to turn on the light. We are like a rechargeable flashlight. I'm talking about church folks now. We will come Sunday after Sunday and we get ourselves charged up. Good singing, good prayer, good preaching, good fellowship. We get charged up. But as soon as we leave the church, then we turn off the power. And then wait till next Sunday and do the same thing over again. And charge the flashlight. Well, of what good to be charged if you're not going to let your light shine? Amen. So as a result, the Bible indicts you and me for having a form of godliness. But there is no power behind it. Just look at us today. Look at what is happening. For the most part, we call ourselves the body of Christ, but we have become a bunch of rich but powerless Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we got money, but we have no power. So many untimely deaths in the body of Christ. And yet, God said, I am Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Many of us, we are so spoiled now, so powerless, we can't even pray fever out of a mosquito. Powerless. We got money, but we have no power. We got nice clothes on, no power. We got nice cars, automobiles. You go into the parking lot now, you see all kinds of brands. But no power. We got big arms, but no power. We got everything, chandeliers, nice atmosphere, nice cushion, all kinds of whistles and bells. But what we don't have, power. Can you imagine how many souls will be saved in this community if the churches have power? Ladies and gentlemen, a few weeks ago, there was a power outage. And I was calling Sister Gay like crazy. Make sure the church has power. I'll call her again and say, how you doing? No, don't worry about how I'm doing. Make sure the church has power. Because when you have no power, all you got is darkness. And whenever you see the light, there's always a source that gives power to that light. The problem with many churches is that we are trying to function, but we are not connected to the source of power. That is why Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4 and 5, he said, I come not with enticing words. See, I can identify with that. Even my accent is horrible. People could hardly understand what I'm saying. Paul said, I don't bring nice speech to you. I don't bring enticing word to you. But I've come to demonstrate the power of God. I don't know about you. Someday when I die, I want somebody to be able to say, this is a man of God who demonstrated the power of God in the community. Verse number 5 of that same scripture says, I'm praying that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, if I have my way, for every church, regardless of denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, name it, Koji, First Church of Christ, Second Church, whatever you call yourself, the most important thing you can bring to the table is to be the light of this world. But look at us today. We have preachers, we have members, we have books, we have degrees, We have more degrees in this house than the thermometer. I was sharing with Dr. Beckwith, true story, this morning. I said, in this house alone, there's probably about 20 books that's been written by various ministers. We got it all going on. But what we need is power. You go to the parking lot, you see all kinds of nice cars. Members looking good. Folks will come to church with tailor-made suits. And that's good. I thank God for it. But of what good if you have all these things and you can't even lay a hand on a dog and make a dog bark? Let your light so shine among men that they will see, somebody will see your good work, and they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. We got enough religion. We got enough tradition. Now we need the power of God. God is looking for a church where people are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Where the devil will hear your name and run. Gideon asked the question. He said, if God be God, where are the miracles? Don't just tell me your first baptism or second baptism. Where is the evidence of the power of God? Whereas the book of Mark, chapter 16, beginning from verse 17, says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devil. Are the churches casting out devil? Or the devil lives in the church? In my name, they will speak with new tongues. Right. You'll be amazed how many churches will even kick you out if you start speaking in new tongues. Amen. In my name, if they drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt them. Those are not my words. These are the word of God. He said, in my name, they shall lay hand on the sick. And the sick, not may recover, they shall recover. But the problem is that we are afraid of the dark. So much that we come to church, but we never introduce Jesus to nobody. You want to know why churches are not growing? You want to know why there's stagnation in our churches? The other day I was doing some study, just going through data, and I noticed the same amount of people that were going to church last year are the same amount that are going to church this year. You know what that means? We're not growing. I'm sorry, but somebody needs to tell the truth. Where is the miracle? Where are the change in people's lives? We need to be the light of this world. Amen. You know what is so profound about this passage? In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Amen. But then when you come to Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14, now he said, you are the light of the world. He is transferring that responsibility. Like what my son in the Lord was preaching this morning, you ought to reflect. He is the light of the world. Now he's inviting you to join that party. You be the light of the world. So I don't care what the name of the church is. When I walked in, I'm looking for one thing. The power of God in demonstration. But if I may use an illustration that you are referring to this morning, son, you see, Dr. Beck was talking about the sun and the moon and all that, and the fact that the sun, the light in the sun is reflected in the moon. Well, let me break it down further. You see, the moon does not produce light of its own. All right? So the only light you see in the moon is what is reflected from the sun. But if you take it a little further, every now and then you don't see any light from the moon. There's a reason for that. That's what we call an eclipse. And when do you have an eclipse? It's when the earth gets in the middle between the sun and the moon. And the problem with the church, we've allowed the world to get in between us and Jesus. So now we have no power. All we got now is a form of godliness. And the Bible says you are the light of this world. You live in this world, but you're not a part of the world. The world ought to look at the church and say, these people are peculiar. These people are holy. These people are royal priesthood. These people are called by God's name. But you know what the real challenge now, brothers and sisters? You know why the world don't come to church? Because they cannot tell any difference. We are acting just like the world. So people come sometimes hoping that they might find God. But then when they come in and see the same mess that is in the world, then many of them will say, well, I can do good by myself. The problem, I said, is that we don't want to offend nobody. I say this with utmost humility. One of the reasons why the Lord blessed me here is because I really don't give a flip what anybody thinks. God said it, it is settled. Whether you believe it or not, it's still God. You see, I grew up back in the 60s and 70s. You know how you would say something to people, and then people would look at you and say, I'm offended by what you say. You know what I would say? So? So what? I started this ministry. I was like, hey, don't turn me off. You know. What I'm saying is the truth. Sometimes I look at people and say, I'm offended that you're offended. Get your life together. Serving the Lord pays. The Bible said, no man who have left their father or their mother or their brother or their sister will go without reward in this life, even in life to come. I was messing with Pastor Tini earlier this morning. Somebody blessed him with some money. I say, I'm not surprised because you're a giver. This Bible world, if you give, it shall be given to you. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. Your cup will be running over. Men and women, give it unto your bosom. But when you are stingy, this Bible works, man. This is the real deal. Ladies and gentlemen, our challenge is that we have allowed the world to dominate, to eclipse us. Now we cannot shine. And what is so funny is that everybody is coming out of the closet. Have you noticed that? I grew up, maybe I'm getting too old. I grew up at a time when you see a boy, you can tell that's a boy. When you see a girl, you can tell that's a girl. The boys like the girls like the boys. Today, I don't know what's going on. Everything is so messed up. But you know what is troubling to me? While everybody is coming out of the closet and showing their true picture, the church is hiding in the closet. It's time to turn on the light. I say it's time to turn on the light. You know, I hope I didn't get in trouble for saying this. In my house, my wife don't like the lights on. She will ask me to turn off the light. I like to turn it on. I want to see what I'm doing. Oh, I'm going to preach this gospel. So that we don't have a divorce, so we settled. So we made an arrangement. True story. We have some night lights. You all know what a night light is? There's something wrong with night lights. Because night light, you can only see them dimly. And what is troubling to me is that in the same house, there are big lights. I'll be honest with you, I say this with utmost humility. In my bedroom, there's probably at least 10 lights in one room. There's plenty of light to turn out, to make the whole place shine. But if all you have is a night light, and I believe the problem with the church today, we think we have light, but what we got is night light. You know what is wrong with night light? It's just there enough for you to go to sleep. Can't do much with it. You cannot even read. Am I telling the truth? You can't really see good with a nightlight. It's just enough to put you to sleep. And you know what's wrong with the church today? The church is sound asleep. But I hear the Lord say it's time to wake up. Why will you build all these cathedrals? Spend millions of dollars. Why will you gather every week? You loaded the bank with money. But you're not making an impact. I hear the Holy Spirit say, let your light so shine among men that they will see your good work and glorify your Father who's in heaven. I don't know about you, but if you're here this morning, and you're tired, I'm testifying now. I grew up a Baptist boy. I knew nothing but the church. Never been on the street in my life. But somewhere along the way, I could tell I'm missing something. If you're here this morning and you're tired of being in the darkness. Ain't nothing against the Baptist. I'm proud to be a Baptist boy. It's an honor. I teach right now in a Baptist college. I'm the first president there. Thank God for the Baptist. Thank God for the Methodist. Thank God for the Pentecostal. Thank God for Koji. Thank God. It don't matter what badge you are wearing. But at the end of the day, Your soul can tell. There's a longing for more. And if you're here today, you're tired of being in darkness. You say, Lord, I want more. You're tired of going through life with no vision. I was talking to the guest pastor early this morning, Pastor Smith. He said, what I admire about this church is your visionary leadership. Dr. Beckwith came right after him. He said, this is a place of vision. Vision will drive you. It will push you into your destiny. Arise, everyone that is asleep. Wake up from your slumber. God has given you the land to possess. But we can't do it in darkness. You got to get up, turn on that light, and go possess the land. Let me tell you in conclusion. The Bible put it this way in Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 1. He said, you know, you need to arise and you need to shine. That's right, brother. Thy light has come. The glory of God is upon you. Why is that important? Your light is come and you can tell when that light has come. What happens? The Bible just told you what will happen in your personal life, in your business life, in your ministry. I was sharing with my son early this morning, Dr. Beckwood, I say, most of my income come from television broadcasts in Europe and Africa from people that I don't even see. God wants to shine your light. If you would just allow him. You know, I wish I had me a light bulb here. You can still have light bulb. Supposing this is a light bulb, and you plug it to a source that gives power, but if the light bulb is dirty, even though it's this power, you still cannot shine. Because now that light bulb is covered with so many dirts. I want to encourage all of you. Do a personal examination. I have to do the same thing. The Bible put it this way. Work out your soul salvation. You got to get up every morning. What can I do better to reflect the image of God? Because when your light comes, see, four things will happen. Number one, you will arise. I say this to my son in the Lord, Pastor Tini, all the time. I say, you are destined for greatness. How do I know that? Because I see he will go to places I won't even go. True story. You know I'm going to tell you like this. He will help anybody. You cannot be doing good in the community and God don't promote you. It's impossible to serve God and be stuck in the elevator of life. Examine yourself. All of us can be very successful. All of us can be blessed. We are destined for greatness. He said, I have a plan for you. That plan is good. That plan is to give you an expected end. But the question is, are you going to be man enough or woman enough to get up and turn on the light? When your light is on, the first thing that will happen to you, you will arise. Because light causes movement. When you arise, that's movement. Hallelujah. The second thing that will happen to you when the light is on, you will shine. The book says, arise. That's the first thing. You're going to get up. You cannot stay down when your light is on. You cannot get stuck in the elevator of light when your light is on. Not only will you arise, you will shine. Hallelujah. And you know something else that will happen to you when you turn on the light? The glory of God will come upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I wish I can testify sometimes. Sometimes I just want to take some of you, go get some chicken wings and sit down and tell you what it would take. The glory of God. God will begin to do things in your life that you'll be having what we call sweatless victory. How do I know that? He said, I will give you wells that you didn't even need. I will give you houses. That's what I call sweatless victory. That's not just for the preacher, man. That's for every child of God. All of us here, white and black, Jews and Gentiles, Democrats, Republicans, all of us are destined. When God said, what I have for you is to give you an expected end. You're not meant to be left behind. You're born to win. The only hold up many times is our own self. Arise! That's what happened when you turn on the light. Shine! That's what happened when you turn on the light. And the glory of God will come upon you. That's what happened. And you know something else? The fourth thing that happens to you, you become an attraction. When you get home, read Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 4. He said people will come from east and west. Hallelujah. What Dr. Beckwith was telling you early is true. There was a time in this ministry that we have less than 30 people. Less than 30, 3-0. He wasn't making that up. He was there. Dr. Tinney was there. We were just a little mom and pop store. But when you turn on the light, you become an attraction to your world. You will stand out among many. God will give you the enablement that's super on your natural. That's my prayer for all of you this morning. I got to stop. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. What is the message? Turn on the light. In your church, turn on the light. In your life, turn on the light. In your home, turn on the light. And when you turn that light on, don't let the religious people say this little light. No, your light is not little. It will shine. You don't hide it under the bushel. You don't spend your years. I just want to be politically correct. I don't want to say this because somebody, if they are offended, let them be offended. And don't just say, leave what you preach. Let them look at you and say, that deacon is right. He is living exactly what he said. That choir is right. They are living exactly what they sing. That brother, that sister, they are doing exactly what they say about Jesus. That's what ministry is all about. Happy anniversary, Zion Hill. The best is yet to come. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, you've been preaching to me, I want this to be a beginning of my rising. I want to arise. I want to shine. I want the glory of God to surround me. I want the devil to hear my name and run. Power will come to the city and all the demons will be running. Peter, his shadow alone, was healing people. That same God is your God. And he's no respecter of person. He wants to bless you, wants to raise you, he wants to use you. I told Dr. Beckwith this morning, I was hoping he's paying attention. Miles Monroe came to this church to minister, right in this pulpit. And after church, we went out for dinner. And he was telling me, he said, the secret of my success is publication. He said, I don't depend on tithes and offering of my church. I write books after books after books. He said, it turned me into a millionaire. And I look him in the eye and say, you can do the same thing. It is not secret what God can do. What is done for somebody, he'll do it for you. Ladies and gentlemen, let this mark a new beginning for every one of us here. Whether you're a member, whether you're a minister, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a mama or daddy, it don't matter where, what area of life. Today can mark a new beginning. What do you need to do? Turn on that light. Turn that light on. And when the light is on, every roaches, they got to move. You may have to lose some friends. They were never meant to be in your life. They cannot go where God is trying to take you. Let them go. Buy them a nice Christmas gift. Say, thank you. Thank you for dumping me. I'm glad you're out. Because if you never left me, I won't meet a good man in my life. I won't meet a good woman in my life. Thank you. Hit the road, Jack. I believe with all my heart the word of God. You know what he says concerning you and me? Eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it. It's not even been conceived in the hearts of men. What God has in stock for everyone that love God. I don't know about you. I love God. I love, even the devil know I love Jesus. Let's turn that light on. If you have come today to give, on your way out, I encourage you, give as the Lord prosper you. For those of you who are members, we encourage you to give $1 for every year of this church existence. We have been here 97 years. Thank God for all those precious deacons and elders and members and pastors that were here before us. They laid the foundation. It's a whole lot easy to walk when somebody has done the hard work. And if you appreciate what God is doing in your life through this ministry, many of you who are listening, I met one lady yesterday. We were in a funeral, and she ran after me. She said, I just want to thank you. And he says, it's been 5 years now. I never miss a single sermon you preach. She's not even a member. 5 years. If you've been blessed by this church, Maybe it's the prayer of this church. Maybe it's the singing of this church. Maybe it's the giving of this church. Just yesterday, Pastor Mitchell sent me a text. There's some family right now, they're in Appaloosa somewhere. Maybe they're watching right now. We have to pay their rent. They were displaced. It don't matter how you are blessed by this church. If this church has been a blessing to you, what a good way to say thank you, Lord. It's time to give. And if you don't have $97, you give whatever you have. God sees your heart. He knows where you are. And if you have more than 97, to whom much is given, much is required. Give as the Lord prosper you. Some of you say, well, but I'm not in the church. I'm not there physically with you. You can give also. Just go to our website, ZionHill.com, and there's opportunity for online giving. Maybe you've heard the word of God today, preach at 8 a.m., 9:30, 11 o'clock, and you say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me through all these men of God. I just need prayer. There's a number under the screen. Call that number. Sometimes it's good to have somebody to talk to. There are ministers of the gospel who have been trained to pray with you and to rejoice with you if you are making a decision to follow Christ. Believe me when I tell you, God will honor your decision. Amen? Please help me give a big welcome again to our worship team. God bless you.
Mind, let's praise and worship the Lord as we prepare to leave this place. Just stand on your feet right where you are.
I saw the Lord, and he was seated on his throne, and the train of his robe, it filled the temple, and day and night proclaim, and they say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So be exalted, be lifted high, King of heaven, be glorified. And all creation testify that you're Jehovah.
If you don't mind, everybody clap your hands like this. Y'all look real good out there today. And join us at home.
The angel cast down their crown, and the very angels bow down. And as it is in heaven, we repeat the sound, and that sound will never get tired, and it will never grow old.
We will sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and
is.
Help us sing,
be exalted.
Too high.